Ian is going to read us our lesson today.
Today's reading is taken from Judges chapter 13, verses 2 right through to 25. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 201. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, having borne no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, or to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that of an angel of God, most awe-inspiring. I did not ask him where he came from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death.' Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'O Lord, I pray, let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what to do concerning the boy who will be born.' God listened to Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, 'The man who came to me the other day has appeared to me.' Manoah got up and followed his wife and came to the man and said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Then Manoah said, 'Now when your words come true, what is to be the boy's rule of life? What is he to do?' The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Let the woman give heed to all that I said to her. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine. She is not to drink wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. She is to observe everything that I have commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Allow us to detain you and prepare a kid for thee.' The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'If you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you want to prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that we may honor you when your words come true?' But the angel of the Lord said, 'Why do you ask my name? It is too wonderful.' So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to him who works wonders. When the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, while Manoah and his wife looked on, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord, and Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, for we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these.' The woman bore a son and named him Samson. The boy grew, and the Lord blessed him. The spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Maher and Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ian, for that extensive reading and quite a story. Let's pray that God will give us understanding of his purpose of angels. Lord, thank you for this mysterious world in which we just seek your wisdom, your guidance to understand. Show us more of yourself through this revelation of angels. For Jesus' sake, amen. Okay, well, just to put this sermon in its context, we, in the spring, invited members of the congregation to place in a box requests for sermon topics. And four came about, and there are still some leaflets, I think, at the back of the church with those printed. But the first two concern angels. So two different members of the congregation that put in a request for some biblical background, which is today's sermon, and also some insight into how angels are at work today. And that's next week at 9:30. That David is going to be exploring testimonies of people far, near and far, who have experienced angels. So today is the biblical overview, and I'm aiming at 20 minutes, by the way. Those who are behind as well as are for me. And yet, how, in that scope of time, can you do justice to this subject? In that the Bible includes so many references to angels. We have in the Old Testament 108 such references. In the New Testament, 165. And that is spread, dotted through the Bible. It's not like in a great big clump. Except in the New Testament, when Jesus appears and is born, when the first two chapters of Luke take all of Luke's references to angels, all 13 of them in that description of the Annunciation and its the birth of Christ and those events surrounding that. Jesus speaks of angels at least 10 times, and you see that we have a huge topic on our hands. The last mention of an encounter with an angel is in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter, Revelation 22, and verses 8 to 9. I'm just going to sort of mention that before I get to Judges and that story which Ian related. And about halfway through my sermon, I want to address that and let that illustrate this biblical overview. But I'm starting at the end of the Bible because it seems this is a very pertinent moment. John, who is John the Evangelist, not John the Baptist, who has fallen down to worship this angel who has just given him a whole lot of revelation, which is described in the last few chapters of the Bible. But the angel says, I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren the prophets and with those who keep the words of this book. And so this is the context of that rebuke. As I say, John had fallen down and begun to worship the angel that had shown him so much. But the angel says no. His last words to John are, worship God. Now, a similar occurrence had, in fact, arisen in chapter 19 of Revelation. Very similar words given to John by the angel. So we are not to worship angels. We are to worship God. And whenever a human being has been tempted to worship an angel, then always in Scripture, it is countermanded. No. That's because angels are messengers. Malak is the Hebrew word, and angelos, the Greek word, both meaning messenger. And these messengers are servants from God, sent from God. And they often minister strength and comfort to human beings who are us, saints, holy ones on this earth. There are various other terms that are used throughout the Old Testament to describe angels. Sons of heaven, sons of God, everlasting host, holy ones, strong ones, heroes, destroying angels, the angel of his presence. Michael is named as an archangel, the great prince. Gabriel is named another archangel, the angel of the Lord. Maybe that one whose name is too wonderful that we heard described today. There was a man who wrestled with Jacob, put his hip out. It was an angel. There was the commander of the army of the Lord who appeared to Joshua. One imagines a huge figure. Around the throne are myriads of angels. We imagine them often dressed in white, and so they are often described in the Bible. Daniel 7:10 describes this. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000, thousands upon thousands, stood before him. With mighty chariot tree, Psalm 68 goes on, twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands, the Lord came from Sinai into the holy place. So angels attend Jesus' birth in great number. Angels will attend his second coming in great number, we are told by Jesus. Yet, we find in 2 Kings 19, and the same story again in Isaiah 37, that one angel destroys 185,000 Assyrians in one night. So there is great power. We are made as Jesus was caused to be for a time, a little lower than the angels. But angels are created beings. We have been given power as the church to make known in the heavenly places, in the spiritual principalities and powers that exist, the great wisdom of God. Angels are not charged with doing that. They are already in his presence in heaven. But we are charged with declaring to the principalities and powers that manifold wisdom of God, as Ephesians 3 says. And we have something into which angels long to look. I wonder if you knew that. We have something, you and I, have something in which angels long to look. They can't. I wonder whether you guess what it is. Described in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. That is the gospel. We have the gospel. And the reason why it's so fantastic is that we are human beings that have sinned. And we're being brought by the Son of God, by Jesus the Messiah, God incarnate, from a place of lostness, separation from God, to be adopted as his sons, his children. And we are being redeemed, and in that process, angels long to look at that majesty of the might of God's salvation through us, the human race. And we have the privilege of declaring the great wisdom of God in the heavenly places. So this is our human apotheosis, the glorious liberty of the children of God, which all creation is in travail over. All creation is groaning in longing, looking forward to the expectation, to that time when we will be just totally reflecting the glory of God as human beings that have come so far from Adam and Eve's separation from God. There are several things that are important to underline before I get to this Judges passage. And that's because Scripture underlines them, and they're repeated in various books. So God is not an angel. Jesus is not an angel. Angels are created beings, servants of God. And if you've got that, then I say, my job done this morning. It's described as a teaching really thoroughly in Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2. So if that, you know, if you want just sort of knuckle that in, then look at that later. Now, I shouldn't just quite get on to Judges until I've described the dark side. So Satan is a fallen angel. And there are those who, like him, are at work to do evil in the world. They, together with Satan, are to be thrown into the lake of fire in the end. So, therefore, from heaven, the rebellion of angels is described in Revelation chapter 12. It's a bit of a mystery because we use terms like thrones, armies, etc. Because, you know, we have these given to us by a revelation in a form that humans can read and relate to in some way. But they are a mystery. They are beyond our comprehension and grasping, this world. It seems from Daniel 10 and Daniel chapter 11 that there is a battle going on in which angels are involved at this time, and it sort of hangs over kingdoms of the earth. Satan and his armies are defeated. Jesus did that on the cross when he disarmed every principality and power. But there is a rearguard action that has taken on from that moment until that moment of Judgment Day when Satan is at work in the world. And that would be the throwing into the lake of fire that Jesus preaches about in Matthew 25. So, I'm going to move on to the Judges passage. And I just sort of beckon with you to actually look at it, because it's very simple. Judges 13 falls into some very neat little compartments. It's page 201. And basically, you have in verse 3 that the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife. And it's to bring her news in verse 3 there. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. And the rest of that time that the angel speaks to Manoah's wife is of instruction about what she is to eat and how she is to bring up the son that will be born. So that is an illustration of what I said about the role of the angel. It's the messenger, servant of God. That is what is going on here with this angel giving this message to Manoah's wife. So it's to bring her good news, to specify some instructions related to the holy preparation of a holy child. You get that at the end of verse 5. A second time, the angel came to the woman. That's over the page. Because Manoah and his wife had this conversation in the meantime, sort of wondering who this could be. And then there we have in verse 9 that the angel comes again, note, to the woman whose name we don't even know, but the wife of Manoah. And the wife was allowed to go and fetch Manoah, and Manoah asks the angel, what it is that they should know about this gift of the Son that's to be given them. And the angel does a very interesting thing. He just says, it's like what I said to that lady. And he doesn't add anything at all. It's just like I told her. So it's like he's got a job to do, and he's done it. Now, Manoah hasn't yet recognized that this is the angel of the Lord. So he must have appeared quite an ordinary person. And so he says, well, let's get you something to eat. And the angel says, no, thanks, but if you want to make an offering to the Lord, then I'd be interested in seeing you do that. And as he does that, we see the angel goes up with the flame. Now, you may say, well, Manoah at this stage then should have realized that this was a messenger of the Lord. But actually, he's believing that having seen God, they shall both die. And it is the woman who continues to hear the message given by the messenger. That actually, it's in order to prepare them to bring up a boy. But Manoah is verging on that aspect of ascribing divinity to the angel. And therefore, having seen the divine as a fallen human being, he's going to die. Do you see, therefore, how important it was that God in his wisdom got the angel to go to Manoah's wife and not to Manoah? Manoah is all over the place. He's out in the field as well. And so he's not going to be mainly bringing up this child. That's mainly going to be the woman. And so the angel comes specifically to a specific time, to a specific person, in order to give that message clearly. And thank goodness the woman listened. And the message came through clearly. And they knew what to do for Samson. Well, we may entertain angels unawares. There's a story in Genesis 18 of that happening, and it's recalled again in Hebrews 13. And the summary says this: do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So it may be that actually you and I have seen an angel. I don't know. If you've got a testimony, by the way, it's probably not too late to let David know early on in the week. He'd be interested. If you've got an angel testimony or a personal encounter with an angel, please get in touch with David. I just want to close my sermon with a reminder, really. St. Paul gives us a great reminder of the balance of how to treat angels. You see, in the medieval life, great deal was made of angelology. And you've got sort of ranks of angels and loads of other names of angels. I think there are two other names of angels mentioned in the Apocrypha, but there are not these great big names that medieval whatever doctrine sort of brings about. And it sort of enshrouds it in some sort of study, which if you're really clever and you work it up, then it might give you some pride. But this is precisely what Paul warned against in Colossians 2. He sums up by saying, rather hold fast to the head, Christ, through whom the whole body grows with a growth that is from God. So such things as special terminology, angel worship, and taking a stand on visions, Paul says this: these things are a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we are in awe at the majesty of that vision of angels around your throne, of your power to extend your hand through messengers that are spirits. We are amazed, but Lord, thank you for the creation that we are, about which angels are amazed. Help us in our study of angels to give the glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.